Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, we're doing 1980s drama themes because of Miami Vice's debut on this date in 1984 on Throwback Thursday. All right, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, this is L.A. law, by the way. Let's go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Jerry Palm joins us from CBS Sports to talk about college football going into week number three. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I want to hear your thoughts on Clay Helton getting fired from USC. I got to believe it's a little more than just losing to Stanford. What did you make of that decision?
Well, I just think that was the final straw. You know, the USC just isn't what USC needs to be. He's been on the hot seat for 3 years,
right,
and if not for a good season last year during the pandemic, he may have already been gone. It was really just a matter of time, and I just think that was, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back finally for Clay Helton.
It's still USC. It's still Los Angeles. It's still got a great recruiting area. Is it still one of the top jobs in college football?
It is, because of what you just mentioned. You know, you're in very fertile recruiting ground. You've got a program with a great history, although not so much recent history, at least not in terms of being nationally relevant. I don't know that their program is in as bad a shape in terms of trying to go back to their glory days as, say, Nebraska or Tennessee or Texas even. USC, I think, is in better shape than that. They can get back to to national prominence quicker than any of those other programs, but they need to get the right guy this time. This needs to be the right hire.
All right, before we get to some of the games this weekend, let's talk about a game that happened last weekend. Oregon going on the road and upsetting Ohio State. We didn't get a lot of Pac-12 football last year to sort of process. How surprised were you of this, and what does it mean for Ohio State?
Well, you're always surprised when Ohio State loses at home, because it hardly ever happens. It was certainly Ohio State's defense had shown chinks in the armor against Minnesota, but you don't want to overreact to this game one. Now it's time to start overreacting. Ohio State's defense is a problem. Their offense put up a lot of yards but couldn't finish drives, and that's why they're in this situation. So for Ohio State, what does it mean? It means that they don't control their own fate anymore with regard to the playoff. Same as Clemson. You know, if Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Oregon, you know, win all their games, you know, and the Alabama and Georgia then face each other as undefeated teams in an SEC championship game, those are your four playoff teams. And there isn't anything Ohio State can do about it right now. But they have bigger problems because, you know, they've got games that are going to challenge them if they don't get their defense fixed, like Penn State. If they get by them, possibly a conference championship game. You know, Ohio State's path to 12-1 is not going to be easy unless they get their defense fixed.
Georgia, the number two team in the nation, taking on South Carolina. You know, this JT Daniels was hurt and Stetson Bennett came in. What do we know about JT Daniels' injury? How would it affect the Bulldogs if he's out for a period of time?
Well, Bennett's played before. I think they're okay. Their defense is going to keep them in every game anyway.
Right.
They've got one of the best defenses in the country. They didn't, you know, that UAB team they just throttled, that's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They're one of the favorites in Conference USA, and they just got skunked. So I'm not worried about Georgia long-term at the quarterback position. I think whoever they run out there is going to be good enough to win most games. I don't know if they've got a quarterback good enough to beat Alabama, and that's the one that really matters, but I think they're okay otherwise.
Florida taking on Alabama. Alabama hasn't been to Gainesville in a while, about 10 years. Florida, though, is working this two-quarterback thing. I always get nervous when schools do this. It may not be enough to beat Alabama, but does Dan Mullen want to use this kind of thing all year?
I would think not. I would think at some point he'd want to settle on somebody and just go with that. Otherwise, your offense becomes too predictable because you'll have a package of plays for each guy, and it's easier to scout. So I think you really want to have just, you know, one quarterback that can run the offense and that you can count on to do that and just take advantage of that guy's skills in particular. I don't think two quarterbacks is a great long-term solution. I've heard several coaches. I remember Joe Tiller saying this: if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
Yeah. In terms of the Gators, and again, I don't think they'll beat Alabama, but they're winning, but it doesn't feel easy.
No, I agree. I mean, Florida's a good team, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Alabama. I don't think they're good enough yet to beat Georgia. But they're the maybe fourth or fifth best team in a pretty good SEC. And that's a good team. That's possibly a New Year's Six game kind of team, but not quite at that next level yet.
One of the games from last week was Arkansas winning against Texas and really winning against Texas. And now that has propelled them into the top 25. You can make of that what you want, but that is still a notable move by Arkansas. Are you buying that as a result of that win against Texas?
I think Arkansas is pretty good. They've got some nice momentum going. They're in the tougher division in the SEC. They're going to have a hard time finishing better than, say, fourth in that division. But it's still momentum in the right direction for Sam Pittman and his team. And that's what they're doing. They're building to try and get to the point where they're pretty competitive in this league. And that win over Texas sends a message to the rest of the league, but also to his own team, that they might be capable of being pretty competitive in this league. Whether they can stay in the top 25 all season long remains to be seen, but you better show up to play Arkansas.
And also, it's Steve Sarkisian, so there's a new face at Texas, but that loss seemed to remind people that we seem to be doing this with Texas. We love them, and then they do something, and we go, yeah, same old Texas.
Yeah. Well, we're two games in, so they've been both, right?
Right.
They've been really good. I mean, they dominated seems to be a pretty good Louisiana team, or at least we thought so.
Sure.
And then they got smoked at Arkansas. So it's, we'll have to wait and find out what Texas really is. But they're probably still looking up at Oklahoma in the Big 12. And I think this just kind of shows you how it's not going to be all that easy for Texas to get back to their glory days once they're playing SEC teams every week.
Let's go out west for those of us who live in a time zone where this would be a late Saturday game, Arizona State against BYU. How much meat is on this bone, Jerry?
Well, BYU got a nice win over Utah. It's a pretty good team, and they're obviously their rival, and that was at home. And I think this one's at home as well. Arizona State, probably a team of similar quality. I think it's an important game for the Pac-12. Because they took a beating again last week, even though Oregon won. And that was huge, not just for Oregon, but for the league. It gives them a legitimate playoff contender. But USC lost. Washington lost again. Yeah, the rest of the league isn't really stepping up. And Utah, of course, lost. So, Arizona State needs this win, obviously for their own, purposes and trying to get into a good bowl game or maybe even a New Year's Six game, but they need to, they need to win this game, and the league needs Arizona State to win this game.
All right, now we go to the one that I'm really, really interested in, and that is Auburn against Penn State. I know Auburn hasn't done much with, other than throttle Akron and Alabama State, but they found what they do. What do you think about this game in terms of how matched up these two teams are?
Well, they're not going to score 60 on Penn State.
Right.
Penn State's defense is really good. This is an interesting game. Auburn doesn't play games like this very often. I mean, they don't go north very often. They went to Syracuse, I guess, in 2001 was the last time they were this far north. They hardly ever leave the Southeast. I mean, you could count on one hand with fingers spare how many times they've left the Southeast in the last 20 years for a regular season game. So it's interesting. It's a whiteout game for Penn State. I don't think obviously Auburn's played in front of huge crowds, so they're not going to be intimidated playing it at Penn State. But I think it's just a really good matchup between a high-powered offense and a really good defense. And I like Penn State. I don't know if they'll cover a touchdown. That seems like a lot. But I think Penn State wins because I think they'll dictate style.
Excellent. Jerry, great talking to you as always. We'll catch you next week, my friend.
All right, thanks.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joins us every Thursday to talk some college football, and he's on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Oh, I did forget to ask him about Oklahoma, Nebraska coming up this weekend. I was so excited about Auburn, Penn State. I do think that I love this atmosphere. I looked this up in their game notes, right? Because I was like, Jerry, I was like, when does Auburn leave the South for these games? And Auburn, this is only the third time in the school's history that it has played a Pac-10 opponent at their house, and the first time they have done so since 1931 when they played Wisconsin. So his point about Auburn not leaving the southeastern part of the United States for games is true. Yeah, they may play teams that come to them, or they may play neutral site games or whatever, but they don't go to Wisconsin. They don't go to Ohio State. They don't go to Penn State. They just don't. And this is the first time they've gone to a Pac-10 house since 1931 to play a college football game. I remember Georgia years ago went to Colorado to play, because I was in Colorado at the time when Georgia came. And it was like a big deal that this was like the first time in 70 years or something that they had crossed the Mississippi River to play a game during their non-conference schedule. Florida is the same way. Florida, I can't think of a game that they've played in the month of September in their non-conference slate that is outside the state. Right? They may go on the road, but they're going on the road in state. They may play Miami. Like last week they played South Florida. But they're not in September. Florida's not going to play like Ohio State, right? They're not going to play, you know, Michigan. That's not happening. And some schools are just locked into that. And so kudos for these schools to book it, especially in a Penn State. It's a dangerous game because Auburn is an SEC school, and they have SEC level players, and they can beat you if you're not careful. Now, Penn State will get a boost if they win. But it's also dangerous for them because if they lose, they're like Ohio State. You can't lose again if you want to keep yourself alive for the postseason, you know, for the potential four-slot playoff. You know, when you got Clemson sniffing around with one loss, and then you got, you know, a bunch of these other teams that might have one loss in the end, you better not get two. And you can get two if you lose to Auburn. And you still got to play a tough conference slate coming up. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call.